Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitness Unfiltered, a world where you can be anything. And in a world where you can be anything, what should you choose to be? How are you?
Kind. Did
or
I
an,
ruin it?
Or an influencer.
You ruined it. It's fine.
Or an influencer.
Be kind or an influencer. Or both.
Isn't the point that she was kind and an influencer?
I think it was more be kind to me because I know I'm taking the mic right now.
Well, be kind to me because I'm an influencer.
Yeah, be kind. So the use and the abuse of the kindness card, and I think what falls into it as well is potentially, which is a bit more of a contentious issue, mental health used to explain the inexcusable sometimes.
I think that is exactly the same argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically her saying like, be kind because it's nice to be kind to people, even though I'm doing something that's completely wrong and hurting loads of other people.
Yeah, negative. But, you know, it's that self-deception thing, isn't it? You know, in her mind, she's motivating the nation because I don't know about you. I feel really motivated watching people in other countries living their best life.
Someone's just at the door. Hang on. Oh. You carry on.
That's so rude.
How rude.
That's not kind. That's not kind, Mike.
Well, I mean, Mike was going to lead this podcast, so now we're a little bit lost.
Well, no, he's done the intro, hasn't he? What do you think? Have you ever thought about packing up shop and going to Dubai because you think it'd be more influential and motivating for your clients?
No, I think the exact opposite. And I actually put this to my clients. So I asked in the group, not that I was thinking about doing this, but I was just interested to hear what people would think. Because to me, it's always come across like if I see other personal trainers out there, and I think, what would I think if I was their client? I just think you're completely unrelatable. And I thought that before the pandemic, but now it's obviously heightened. Like, okay, so we're stuck at home in the freezing cold in lockdown, and you're out there like living your best life, not really having many restrictions, going to the beach, sunning yourself, getting to use a gym. Like, I think what's quite motivating is your coach going through the same things that you're going through, but dealing with them well. Like, okay, we can only work out at home. I'm doing the exact same and I'm getting results and I'm not letting it demotivate me. I think that's much more inspirational than someone being like, guys, you can definitely do it. Like, it's not that hard. Get some resistance bands. By the way, I have a full gym set up here and it's really sunny and there are no COVID restrictions. So, you know, but I completely understand.
Deliveroo has literally every restaurant under the sun. And I think it's a read the room situation, isn't it?
It's tone deaf, absolutely, yeah.
And actually, like the other side of it, like it bothers me from a responsibility sort of perspective, but from an actual perspective, I don't know. Like I think that should we be saying that people shouldn't be bothered by people being in a better situation than them because we shouldn't be having comparison culture and all of that kind of stuff. But I suppose it's just, it's more the argument that, is it a responsible thing to do to be traveling at the moment? Although you could argue that it does take some pressure off the NHS if there's fewer people in the country, but you know.
I suppose
they're going to come back at some point, aren't they?
It's the responsibility.
It's different if you're like moving to Dubai and you're not coming back, like fine.
Yeah, the responsibility aside, I think on the people traveling, I just think it's with what you're sharing maybe is quite revealing on a personal level, and that there's some level of self-deception going on there in which they're convinced that, you know, they're doing the just and the right thing for the nation.
It is interesting, like almost how little, like what's the right word? Maybe like self-reflection people have, or insight into like what people might think of what they're putting out there. People have, and I mean this within people in the UK as well. So I've seen, like, I know that certain people have unfollowed people because, for example, they own a gym and they're just posting up their training as they normally would. Mm. It's like, is that insensitive? Like, it doesn't particularly bother me personally to see it, but I can completely see how if you're someone who is really missing the gym, really struggling at home, and then whether it's your coach or not, someone's like, oh yeah, I still go to the gym because I own a gym, which is like, in some ways I'm like, it's one of the very few positives to owning a gym at the moment. Like, it's a pretty shit situation to be in generally.
Yeah, they're paying but a $3,000 a month gym membership effectively.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why wouldn't they be using their own gym?
And I completely get that, but do you need to show that off?
Yeah, I think with the Dubai thing, it's the justification of it, I guess. It's the I'm going to escape these circumstances and label it as something else, even though it's clearly not that thing.
And I think what you said about insight is very valid from the fact that, you know, look at the reaction to that clip from this morning. If you thought that was the reaction that you were going to get from a clip like that, you wouldn't entertain the idea of going on this morning. So clearly, either that person would have to be like a massive narcissist who just wants attention, regardless of what type of attention it is, or they would have to not realize that that was the kind of reaction that they were going to get, because they would actually believe that no, let me tell my side of the story, because there's actually a really good reason behind what I'm doing. And I have to say, I think that's the case. I think that people do
really, because it must be obvious. Like, people have been sort of banging on a little bit about people being in Dubai for the last at least couple of weeks, if not couple of months. Like, oh, look, all these influencers over there. I'm pretty sure that girl that went on this morning will have seen some of that. That'll be why she was invited on this morning, and she's probably fame hungry.
And also, if you're that confident in your choices and that you're doing that for entirely the right thing, would you then justify your life choice with, you know, if you can't be anything else, just be kind, knowing full well you're about to receive a load of backlash for your life choices? I don't think you would. And that was going to be the main topic of today, wasn't it? It's perhaps kindness and mental health used to excuse the inexcusable.
Yeah, is kindness a get out of jail free card?
Yeah.
Or is it being abused? So, and this is my thing, like, because I'm a massive fan of kindness. I think it's brilliant. And I do think that we should
be. I'm a big fan. Huge fan.
Assert that point, just in case anyone was confused.
But also a fan of kindness here.
Yeah, well done. But Dan hasn't said anything. He hasn't pledged his allegiance.
Oh, that must mean I'm not kind. Sorry.
Dan's not kind.
And I think that's the thing, is that what does kindness actually mean? Does kindness not involve an element of honesty as well? Does kindness not involve, you know, like, because probably she's probably got a lot of friends who haven't said, look, mate, maybe tone it down a little bit, because they think that by doing that, that's not kind. And actually kindness would be saying to her, would be having that conversation with your friend who you care about. And I think sometimes we take the easy way out of feedback because it's easier than being actual kind. Like,
yeah, it's like immediate kindness. Yeah. Oh no, you look absolutely fine in that. And then actually the whole dress is see-through and you've not told your mate that it's see-through or whatever, you know, like, oh yeah, you're not coming across this way. Like, cause you're being kind to their face.
Yeah.
But and actual kindness, like, would be.
Self-care involves like some self-parenting as well. Like, you know, you have to kind of, you know, you're looking after yourself in more ways. And when looking after a child involves some tough decisions as well. Like, you can't always just say yes to them all the time. And I think that's part of the problem, is that kindness has almost been like bastardized into this idea that everyone should just be allowed to do whatever they want without any consequences. Because
yeah, I think the self-care thing is exactly right. Like, you wouldn't just let your kids slob around all day watching Netflix, eating Doritos, but you do it to yourself and you're kind of like, oh, I should take the pressure off, you know, lockdown's been really hard, blah blah blah, which it absolutely has. But sometimes the kindest thing you can do to yourself, or the biggest self-care, is, you know, getting rid of your bullshit excuses and getting out for a walk in the pouring rain. Like, it's the difference between like immediate reward and what's actually important.
Yeah.
Long term.
Yeah. And cruel to be kind has kind of gone out the window, hasn't it? So as you said, having that confident, but, you know, kind discussion with a friend, maybe they're saving themselves from some long-term turmoil. So as you said, like with that lady we're referring to abroad in Dubai now, if their friends had said something to her, maybe, and I'm not excusing the backlash she's probably getting online, and, you know, we're making fun now, we're being kind, we're not making fun, we're not calling names. Would it have been kinder just to say, don't do it, do your influencer stuff from home for work?
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like, do you know what, if you are going to go out to Dubai, I think what annoys me about it is I have no, like, I don't put influencers on a pedestal or celebrities. Like, I don't expect them to behave particularly well. In fact, I kind of expect them to do selfish things, like go to Dubai in the middle of a pandemic. But what I don't expect, or what I don't like about it, is when they're then like, oh no, this is part of my job. I need to be here, or just be kind, or I need to do it for my mental health. Like, that's the bit that gripes me. Like, I fully expected this to happen anyway. It doesn't shock me that people are doing it, but it's kind of shocking, or more like annoying or rubbing salt into the wound, that they're then trying to turn it around as like justifying it. Like, yeah. Don't justify it. Just be like, I wanted to come out here, and to be honest, I can work from anywhere. I don't really work anyway, and kind of looks better for me to be out here, and I enjoy it more. Yeah. I understand that actually that's pretty shit for everyone else, but
own it and take the heat.
So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, just own it and take the heat. But, you know, that self-deception thing is obviously with the follow-up of the be kind message, he probably was well aware that not everyone would share the same opinion. So, okay.
I was just going to say, like, because I think actually it was interesting because, like, Paula Lima did a parody video of the This Morning appearance. And it was funny because in the comments, he was talking about how he had got a lot of flack for going to Dubai back in, I think it was November. Like, obviously, restrictions weren't as severe then anyway. But his point was, when people were giving him flack, he was just owning the fact that he had gone to Dubai, and these were the reasons that he had gone to Dubai. He wasn't, like, making up pretend reasons. And I think one of the things that that has been pointed out, and this was something I didn't even really realize was happening, and one of the things that people are being genuinely critical of, is people who are actually being sponsored, like influencers who are being paid for to go to Dubai by, like, the tourism industry to basically advertise tourism to get.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, exactly. That's the main bugbear. It's not just the idea of the irresponsibility of the travel during the pandemic. It's more like being paid to promote this lifestyle that's happening in Dubai that is of a questionable sort of risk profile in terms of COVID numbers and in terms of the fact that the sector of the population in Dubai that is absorbing the risk of COVID, mm. or the sector of the population that also, you know, don't have the access to healthcare and stuff like that as well. So there's a genuine concern about how it's being managed in Dubai and what's happening with surges in numbers and stuff like that as well, in the context of restrictions. But that's another story. Sorry, Dan, I interrupted you.
No, I was just going to say, because, okay, slightly different context, but when people use that for self-serving purposes, so let's, another hypothetical. So someone who refuses to wear a mask, for example, they've got no clinical reason not to wear a mask in public at the moment. They just choose not to. And their argument is, it's my personal choice, be kind.
When actually, also, you could argue that they're not being kind by not wearing a mask.
Yes, and that's what I mean. It's just, that's the example that people are using. Is, or another hypothetical scenario, you've got a friend that's behaving quite outlandishly on social media. It's quite self-involved. They put some questionable stuff out there, almost quite explicit stuff, and that's followed up with, so, you know, if that was me, for example, and I'd done that, and one of you the next day put something up to be kind in reference to that, I would hope that someone called you out, because surely that's just inexcusable, no?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, yes. On the
I couldn't imagine this example, but yes, I would imagine so.
That's why I said hypothetically.
Oh, completely hypothetical, yeah. I mean, and I agree with that. And to go back to, like, the Dubai situation, I do understand that, like, it does almost seem weird where it's like, okay, well, there's still loads of flights to Dubai. It's quite easy to get there. Like, if it was really that bad, like, why haven't we shut it down? And I know that potentially more restrictions are coming in now and there's, like, less ability to travel. But it's almost like when the government's like, please don't go on holiday, but
if you wanted to, like, here's the list of flights.
Yeah, exactly. But you can also still go on holiday. Like, if it was really that bad, we'd be like, business only, you need to prove that it's for business, done. As opposed to there being these, and I mean this throughout, like, the whole of this year, really, like, don't go on holiday, but also we don't want to totally shut down the tourist, like, or travel side of the economy, because then we probably have to support that. So we'll just say that, but then not really stop you from doing it. So we kind of get the best of both worlds, but also the worst of both worlds.
And I think it's an important point, because I think that, you know, throughout the whole process, like, you know, we often talk about, you know, sticking to the regulations and all that kind of stuff. You cannot deny that, even if, you know, I know the regulations because it's my job to know the regulations, and I still have to look them up every time somebody asks me, you know, like, if a patient asks me if they're allowed to do X, Y, or Z, I have to check a website to figure it out. And actually, there are a lot of people who don't necessarily you know, they don't use information technology as much as we might. They might just watch the briefings on TV. That doesn't mean they're going to remember all of the restrictions that they've been asked to do. And I'm not, I'm obviously not talking about people who are, you know, going to Dubai and stuff like that, but there are so many restrictions to consider and they're changing all the time that it is actually like, I see a lot of people who are breaking them out of genuine like unawareness rather than, you know, an intentional issue. And I think that, you know, some,
I think that's right. And I know that everyone thinks that everyone watches TV, but I don't have a TV.
Yeah.
I don't have a TV license because I don't have a TV, which means I can't actually watch the BBC.
Yeah.
Which means that I have to like read all these things if I want to stay up to date. And to be honest, I've kind of just accepted that we're still in lockdown and
yeah,
no one's going anywhere. But,
like when you're trying to keep up with these things, you've got to remember that, I mean, most people my age would probably watch TV or they see it on the internet or something. But if you're maybe like in an older generation and you've decided not to have a TV or you only listen to the radio and you only listen to a certain channel, like it's actually quite easy not to know basically anything that's going on if you're not watching a daily update, which gets pretty boring.
But then I suppose there's the distinction then, isn't there, whether you're that individual that's, oh, I've just popped into my neighbour's garden or just a Heathrow airport. I'm a Heathrow airport. How did this happen? Had no idea, honestly. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? But I think,
and then I think the other argument is just because you're allowed to do something, like, yeah, you're technically maybe allowed to go to Dubai or technically allowed to go to certain places. Anyone with any common sense knows it's not going to be a great thing.
And I think that's why we've struggled. That's part of the reason that we've struggled as a country beyond other places. And I think it's because we've fostered almost this mentality in the public of that, oh, if you're allowed to do it, it's fine. And I don't know. I think that we have to be clear. I think a lot of the blame for a lot of that does fall at the feet of the government and how it's been communicated and how, you know, some of the decisions that they've made as well. But it's interesting because like a lot of people who are anti-lockdown used examples of countries that didn't use lockdowns early on. But the reasons that those countries were successful in suppressing the spread of the disease was because they didn't need lockdowns to get people to stay at home. So yes, they could open cafes, but if someone went to a cafe and saw that it was busy, they wouldn't have gone in, for example, because they've got such a high level of concern for their health, etc., that they would
they're
be
sensible.
Yeah. And I think that we've very interestingly seen that people are pretty happy to do what they're allowed to do over here. And I don't know what that is, whether that speaks to something cultural or something in relation to how it's communicated by the government. And it also is part of the reason, I think, why the government not leading by example and having those, you know, episodes with people like Dominic Cummings and stuff like that led to such a change in how people viewed the rules. Because
I think that people view the rules as, I'll do a little bit more than what the rules are. Like, I think that's how most people approach it. So
as in,
like,
mean they'll do more than they're allowed to do.
Yeah, like if you're in lockdown, you're only meant to go out once a day. Like, I'll stay in lockdown, but I'm going out as many times a day as I want. Or yeah, like, oh, you're not meant to, I don't know, mix with more than six people. Well, like, you'll maybe, I don't know. I just think people just take whatever the rules are and just add a little bit. And that they see that as being like sensible and fair.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting, like the psychology behind these messages and getting people to change and why some people stick to them and some people don't. And obviously the UK government hasn't done very well, but it's interesting that other governments have and what the differences are there. And I think one thing that's really interesting to me is that fines seem not to work, because as soon as you fine someone, it's almost like you're saying you're allowed to do this as long as you pay your way out of it. So like, oh, I think there was like quite a small fine as well between if you got caught going over the border from Scotland to England, because you're not meant to be doing that at the moment, like without a legitimate reason. But it was something like 60 quid. So people were like, all right, well, if I get caught, then I'll have to pay the 60 quid. But like, that's not so bad. It's almost like you're allowing people to do that. Whereas if you just say that is against the law, you're not allowed to do it. No fines, no nothing like that. Like either you have to make the fine really high so that no one would want to do it. Mm. Or you don't put fines there because people think that they're just paying for the privilege of doing something.
Yeah.
As opposed to being fined for something.
It gives them more privilege, more opportunities. Because I read this thing, actually, it was today, about Rita Ora's birthday, latter part of last year. And her representative, whoever that was, sought out this restaurant specifically, offered them £5,000 in advance. They then agreed that the cameras would be turned off when those guests were arriving to her party. And she took the ten grand fine on the chin, but then to a pop star, that's nothing. And she put out this really insincere apology the next day, saying, you know, it was a misjudgment. It wasn't a lack of judgment, was it?
It was completely calculated.
It was premeditated, and you've invited 30 guests to your birthday. And what you're doing
and you
is
know
you're doing...
it's breaking the law to the point where you've paid people money to hide it.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you've taken the fine on the chin. But, you know, again, it just offers more privileges to those that are already privileged. And when, I don't know, as a cultural thing, maybe on a deeper level, when people are used to just throwing money at a situation to get their own way, they don't learn anything from that. So they're either going to need to be made example of, or the penalty is more severe.
And I think that the other side of it, which I think is not really addressed very much, is this isn't about... It's not so much about, oh, privilege and they get to do something, it's not fair. This is like people are like dying really quite unpleasant deaths. People are losing loved ones who they should not be losing. People are unable to get intensive care beds because hospitals are overwhelmed. And other people think it's important for them to have a birthday party.
Yeah, but oppression.
Say again?
Oppression. I don't want to feel oppressed.
Exactly. And this is what's frustrating because almost like I think that, you know, people, instead of getting a 10 grand fine, they should be made to maybe work an ITU shift. Although I wouldn't particularly want them if I was on ITU, I wouldn't particularly want them in my ITU. But, you know, they need to be aware of what they're risking by doing stuff like that. It's not about whether they should be allowed to have a party or should be allowed to have fun. It's about what we're trying to avoid. And I think that the seriousness of that is being downplayed quite a lot by a lot of places. It's certainly being upplayed, and there is also a lot of fear mongering. I don't deny that either, but that's because of stuff like this, because people aren't playing by the rules. And it's not like the rules are there like because you don't want someone to park on a double yellow line because it makes the road look cluttered or whatever. The rules are there because it's like, it's dangerous not to have them. And
well, yeah, similar to like speeding or drink driving, when you get then put on a course and it's like you have to watch what happens when people do drink drive and actually see the impact on people's families and on people. Yeah. And oh, Dan's just left, that was weird. But I think the same sort of thing, and obviously we didn't, because this is unprecedented and new, like we didn't have that sort of thing, but I imagine that if you sat down someone like Rita Ora and was like, cool, we're gonna like do these interviews with families of people who have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
And partly because of people like you who have been spreading, you know, have been creating risk in high risk environments. Yeah. That means that viruses spread more.
Yeah. Be kind. That's what would be the response. Because it would seem almost harsh, wouldn't it? Like that almost
it is harsh, but like sometimes you need harsh.
She should go to ITU. That makes me feel like, oh, that's really out of order. But it, you know, that's the thing, is it's more like people don't realize that I don't think they realize what they're doing. And I think that part of the reason that they don't realize is because you've got so many people spreading the propaganda that this isn't as bad as everyone is saying and all of that sort of stuff as well. And so it just does make it, you know, again, if you put yourself in Rita Ora's shoes, she probably just genuinely doesn't recognize that this is an issue. It's like when people buy diamonds and, you know, there's issues with diamonds. People don't realize there are because they're just shiny and they have lots of money and they want to buy them. There's lots of ethical issues behind a lot of things that we don't necessarily realize, but this is such a big issue that it just is. I just don't know why.
I think that like as much as kindness is used as a get out of jail free card, so is ignorance.
Yeah.
And I think that like, that needs to change as well.
Yeah,
I don't really know exactly how, but
no, exactly. And I think that's the point, is that no matter how we dress it up, I think that that for me, like the conclusion with regards to the kindness discussion is that you can be kind while admonishing somebody. You know, you can recognize that something is unacceptable and you can firmly state that it's unacceptable while also being kind about it. But kindness doesn't mean that you ignore that it's unacceptable. Kindness means that you deliver whatever, you know, retribution or punishment that person should have, like by the law or whatever, and that's what they get. But it's not, you know, you're not throwing tomatoes at them. That's not kind. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you ignore it. And I think there is a balance of kindness. And I think that kindness also shouldn't be abused. You know, that saying, don't mistake my kindness for weakness.
I think
the point is that actually that's what they are doing, is they're trying to use, you know, they're trying to use kindness to almost, you know, as other people's weaknesses, really. They're going, oh yeah, but be kind. And that's almost like thinking that people will just let you get away with it because of that. No.
It is an interesting debate, and like kind of back to what we were speaking about probably last week when we upload this, but like calling people out and the fact that you'd want to be kind to people. And although maybe they've done something wrong, do they deserve to be like publicly shamed about that? And like, we should still care about how they feel and their own mental health. But at the same time, like if people just think that they can get away with things because people won't call them out because they won't want them to feel upset.
Mm.
Like that's, I mean, because a lot of the reason that people are quote unquote good is social pressure.
Mm.
And without that social pressure, I think a lot of people would do a lot more things that are potentially bad for society because they think they can get away with it. So I think to some extent, like public shaming is a bit far, but like social pressures help us behave in a way that's going to help the whole of society as opposed to just behave in a purely selfish way, which to some extent, I think as much as selfish is seen as a bad trait, most of us are inherently selfish to an extent. So if you think that you can quote unquote get away with something that is going to benefit you personally, but might negatively impact others, especially when it's quite far removed. So like COVID is not, you know, probably no one caught COVID from Rita Ora's birthday party.
Yeah.
So you can sort of remove yourself from it and be like, well, you know, we were all safe beforehand and the risk doesn't feel that big. But if everyone did that, we'd be absolutely fucked.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that the other thing that you risk by, you know, with that social pressure is how that social pressure is applied can result in positive change, or it can result in pushing that person deeper into that segregation. And I think that's where the kindness thing becomes important, because it's not necessarily about, I mean, I think you're right. I think everybody should have an awareness and an understanding of the mental health of other people, and you shouldn't just be destroying that. But sometimes, you know, if you do something terrible, it is going to affect your mental health if you have a conscience. And actually, that in itself is a reason to kind of, you know, yes, you do need to be kind about it, but that doesn't mean that you ignore it. And I think that finding the balance of how to do that is very difficult. Like in my job, when you have a duty of care to people, you know, like we might talk about like perhaps a zero tolerance to abuse. So if somebody's abusing you, you might say, look, I'm not carrying on with this. But that limit is set at a very, very high threshold. You know, somebody would have to do quite a lot of stuff for that to happen.
What do you mean for you to say, I'm not going to treat you anymore?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. You would have to be very, very clearly justified in that situation.
It's kind of awful. Like, you know, when you see, I mean, I didn't see it very often, but like just people talking awfully to nurses or doctors just who are obviously there trying to help them. But yeah, that just blows my mind. But yeah, I see that does happen a lot.
And it blows my mind as well. But then at the same time, I think what people underestimate is that the impact, and again, this is why it often could come across as a bit soft in a way, and a bit too overly kind. But, you know, I sort of see both sides of the story, because when someone is sick, or when their relative is sick, or when they're worried about sickness, or they're worried that there's something seriously wrong with them, what that does to people's stress levels and to people's behaviors can be quite impactful. And people you know, yes, it's right to recognize, and there will be conversations that I will have sometimes where I will say, look, how you behaved in that situation wasn't acceptable. You really can't do that. But that will always be after the fact, because there is a certain level of understanding.
And I completely agree with this. Like, if you just told me, I don't know, my mum was particularly unwell or something, or I thought that you'd misdiagnosed her, obviously not on purpose, or what, you know, whatever, I might completely lose my temper.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as like flying off to Dubai in a pandemic.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. No, I'm not comparing the two situations, but what I mean is, like, how you respond in that situation when the people aren't necessarily behaving well really affects how things go from there. Because there's one person in the situation that might not necessarily have control over how they're behaving for whatever reason. And I mean this for lots of different types of behavior. But then you do have control over how you behave. And I think that's why I always struggle with it, because actually when it comes to stuff like social media, when people put up a post on social media, you don't often know what frame of mind they're in when they posted it. And that was why I found Diren's podcast with Holly from Geordie Shore really, really interesting, because it's the first time I've really heard somebody frame what frame of mind they were in when they did something, like the financial pressure that she felt to work with a company, the contractual arrangements, the fact that she would potentially be, you know, have legal action taken against her if she didn't post those things or if she deleted them. You know, like all of these things that we don't necessarily consider. And I think that's, you know, it's really easy to be one-sided, but you don't have to be unkind to be two-sided is my point, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess to add to your point, I think coming from a place of not calling people out, but like being the one who is doing the kindness, if you will, like kill them with kindness works most of the time, because it usually makes, like, if someone for some reason like shouted at me or something and I was just really calm and like really kind about it because I could see that they were going through something, or when even in like a customer service type relationship, like someone complains and you're like, oh, thank you so much for the feedback, like I'm really sorry that you experienced this, rather than being aggressive back, it usually makes people feel so embarrassed for being rude that they then completely change their point of view. Obviously depends on the person, but I often find that like kill them with kindness is the best approach. It certainly helped people change their mind if you're calling someone out on misinformation or something, being like, I know you're obviously doing your best and, you know, some parts of this information are completely right, but you've missed out this and this. All your other stuff looks great, by the way. Like, even like a positive criticism sandwich, like, oh, I love your social media, but you know that post you put up about this, there isn't actually much evidence to support that.
Yeah,
by the way, nice hair, there you go.
Yeah. So you were talking to us for a minute. I was like, oh, you noticed.
Right. I always notice Mike, because you always notice it as well. I feel like I'm having a great hair day today, so I'm doing extra stories.
Humble about it. Yeah.
Well, Dan's back. Hi.
Sorry about that. Do you know what? I've actually got the Ethernet cable plugged in because I thought it was my Wi-Fi before. It's not. It's just crap internet, but we are upgrading it.
Brilliant.
Not that anyone needs to know that or wants to know.
I'm sure that the Fitness Unfiltered listeners will sleep well.
The criticism sandwich, I wanted to talk about that because I've brought up disc profiling. I think we talked about it before. So some certain personality types that are more receptive to stuff. So if you've got a red, for example, who's quite aggressive, quite in your face. Have you both heard of it? Anyway, yeah, they see through criticism sandwiches. They're like, nope, just give it to me.
Is it?
So you have to know who you're talking to with that stuff as well, I think.
Yeah, but I think personality types are bullshit.
Do you?
Whoa. That's the next Unfiltered episode.
Yeah. There's a great book, Eric Johnson, Surrounded by Idiots, which is all about it.
Someone, who was telling me this?
I think Benjamin Hardy, why we get frustrated.
Benjamin Hardy, I think his next book might be about that as well, and about how we over analyze people's character traits and think that they're then not changeable.
I've listened to an interview by him on it, and he talks about how like he's done the same test like at different points during his life and get completely different results. And I would say for me, maybe it's just because maybe I changed my mood quite a lot, but like see on different days, I would probably get completely different answers. And even and things like on how the questions are worded, what exactly what situation you're in, what, and also like as much as you don't think you're biased, like sometimes to what you think people want. So if I was doing a personality type testing and it was like something to do with like relationships, I'd answer it in a different way than like how I approach my business.
Yeah.
But I also think that I'm quite different in my personal life than I am in my business life, like almost opposing in many ways.
I think that's what it would be if you develop skills. Like, you know, I think that probably, yeah, your personality as an employer is different to your personality as a coach or as a doctor, which is also then different to your personality as a friend as well. Like it's just, I mean, I think some traits will run through it, but I don't think that they're unchangeable. And I think that, yeah, I do think it's...
I think the only place that personality type testing has is that it often makes you realize your traits. So you might be like, oh God, like I'm coming across as very abrasive, for example, or like,
for example,
anyway, like you, but you'll see certain traits and you can either say, oh yeah, like that's how I want to come across. I'm going to continue being the way I'm being. Or you can be like, oh, that's actually quite a useful self-assessment tool.
Yeah.
And I'm going to change that. Like I'm going to make sure that I know that my predisposition is to come across like that or to be like that. So I'm going to make sure that I work against that.
Yeah. And that's effectively what it is. It's a profiling system and it does give you specific context, specific examples of what you might be inherently, but arguably like everyone needs an element of that. That is what emotional intelligence is adapting your style and your approach, your tonality, everything like that based on who you're talking to. Yeah. You know, like you can have a different level of bants with certain people that you perhaps wouldn't be able to have with another. Definitely. But it's interesting. Anyway, what did I miss? What did I miss? Was it interesting?
Loads.
You'll have to listen back to the podcast, loads. Sam.
Okay. Are we wrapping? Does that mean we're wrapping up there?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the mental health bit again, please?
No.
No, I was just going to say, because I think... And like the inherent personality traits, sometimes that's used to explain the inexcusable as almost, and I see it comparable to like people who drink. You know, everyone knows that one person that drinks that gets just totally out of hand.
Yeah.
That they're like, oh, you know what I'm like when I've had a drink. And there's a little bit like, well, if you're a bit of a dick when you've had a drink, just don't drink as often.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more, especially with that example. I'm like, then don't, like, if you know that you're
if you know you're a horrible person
when you drink, then don't drink.
I think it's really tough because there is a fine line between where is your personal responsibility for your actions and where is an understandable level of allowance for people who love you for your flaws. And I think that's the intersection between that is a really important place to find for people. And that's where we run into difficulty because everyone has flaws. Nobody's perfect. We all do things that aren't right. But it depends how we approach them, like how we approach what we do and how it's tolerated by people around us. Like accepting people's flaws is very different to accepting people's irresponsibilities. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I agree with that. There's actually quite an interesting sort of theory to that in the, or more just like an observation in that a lot of people's flaws or what you find potentially most annoying about them are actually like the shadow side of what you love most about them. Mm-hmm. So for example, like I spoke about this on the ESG Fitness podcast the other day, and I used my friend as an example. So I love her because she is like the bubbliest person you'll ever meet. You could leave her in a room with anyone and you'd come back and she's like best mates with them, makes everyone feel completely welcome. But she is always late for everything. They are two sides of the same coin. She's always late because she's bumped into someone that she knows, or like she's off chatting to some random person at the bus stop. And she's like, oh, I met an old lady who needed me to help her find a shop. So I just went, oh, and I'm like, you're an hour late than when we meant to meet. But that, or that she's been at lunch with someone and like the conversation kept going. The reason that I get annoyed with her is the exact same reason that I enjoy her friendship so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, there's loads of examples like that. Like, mm-hmm. more examples to come in things like, a lot of the reason that certain athletes are potentially very good is because they are quite aggressive, but that's also probably the reason that they, you know, lose their temper quite a lot. And so it's not just about, and in that example, that might be something that you realize about yourself. Like, oh, okay, this thing that makes me very good when channeled in the right direction in sport is also what's causing me a lot of conflict in my personal life. I need to manage that better. Oscar
Pistorius jumps to mind.
Yeah, I mean, but there's so many examples of that exact one, like Floyd Mayweather.
And I find it really interesting because I know doctors who have changed careers, who've burnt out as doctors because of the very reason, because they're so caring and because what makes them such amazing doctors makes their career unsustainable because they're working within a framework that's not perfect. So in order to give everything that they want to give, they have to give part of themselves as well. And that doesn't work all the time. So it can almost be both. It can be something that enhances your ability to do something, but it can also be something that enhances your ability to do it to your own detriment as well.
Yeah, well, like I also use my grandpa as an example here. So he was a writer, and I think probably one of the main reasons he was a very good writer is because he suffered with depression his whole life. And like, you almost can't have one without the other. Like, if he was a really happy-go-lucky guy, probably would have had a great life, but not have written any books. Yeah. And you kind of like, I guess that's almost the opposite of like finding some kind of silver lining to a weakness, or depression is not a weakness, but obviously something that you wouldn't wish on anyone. But sometimes like even the worst things have this benefit to them as well. And often it's two sides of a certain trait or a certain condition or whatever it is that have actually been beneficial in some respects.
It's speculated that some of the greatest minds in history have been, you know, on the autism scale at some point, isn't it?
Well, you would, like, even if you just think about, you know, emotive writing, and I would say to some extent, like, musicians as well, like, no one's writing songs about, like, never having their heart broken or, like, nothing that, you know, not being deep in some respect and, like, introspective and almost overthinking a lot of situations. Actually, that's not true. There's some pretty great songs.
Mbop. About really, you're going to go back to Mbop. Yeah.
No, but I think you're absolutely right. I think that it's almost that, it's like poets, like the idea of the struggling artist is often the struggle is because, you know, they have a connection to a level of emotional intelligence that means that they feel a lot more, I think, than other people as well. And that's why they're able to conjure up those sorts of thoughts and words and like music and whatever.
And music and things, isn't it?
Don't take the mic out of my accent, please.
I don't think I was actually. I was taking the mic out of my accent. Save that.
I really enjoyed that podcast.
Me too. That was
fun. I did for what I was there for. It was excellent.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Dan.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry that my doorbell rang as well. And yeah.
I have nothing to apologize for.
No, you don't actually.
No.
For once. So thank you for all for listening. And if you enjoyed it, please rate it and subscribe and do all that jazz. And we'll catch you soon.
If you can be nothing else, just be kind. Like,
be kind. And when kind. You're writing that review, just think, be kind.
Yeah.
Exactly. Be kind.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.